Every week, the Orange Fizz team breaks down the five most pressing questions about Syracuse athletics.
Holy cow, what a big time defensive play!
No holds barred.
I pity the fool.
It's the Fizz Five.
Five!
Today is a sad, sad day for Syracuse fans. It's the first day of March Madness when we're recording this, and Syracuse, unsurprisingly, is not in it. Francesco, are you coping okay?
You know, I'm doing all right. I'm going to be honest with you, Tyler. I didn't expect at any point this season that Syracuse would be playing today.
We talked last May, and you said Syracuse was going to be awful this year. So,
well, they were better than I thought, to be fair. I thought they were going to be... They were going to be bottom five in the ACC. They were not that, but I had a feeling they were never going to make the NCAA tournament. I think if you gave most Syracuse fans truth serum, they would have told you the same thing. And, well, here we are. 3 years in a row, first day of March Madness, and no Syracuse.
No Syracuse in March Madness. That means looking ahead to the next season, there have already been some changes. That brings us to topic number one.
Number one.
The transfer portal giveth, and the transfer portal taketh away, but Francesco, so far, the transfer portal has only taketh away from Syracuse. Benny Williams gone, which we expected. Justin Taylor gone, which is not too surprising.
No.
Quadir Copeland, that hurts.
You could make the argument that in some senses, the subtractions have been addition by subtraction.
Wow.
I think especially in the case of Benny Williams.
Including Quadir?
No, not Quadir. Okay. Justin Taylor's a good dude. He tries hard. He had a terrible season.
He did.
Right?
There's a lot of reasons for that. The expectations were very high. They shouldn't have been.
He had
two double-digit games last year.
He also played out of position the entire season.
Correct.
He was playing power forward when he should be playing shooting guard. So not entirely his fault. But the facts are the facts, Tyler. He was not very good this year.
No.
So losing Justin Taylor, to me, doesn't make that big of an impact. You knew you were losing Benny Williams. Again, that's probably a net positive for this team. It just didn't work out with Benny. Copeland, to me, is... I don't know if it's a surprise, necessarily. It's a big loss, though. I mean, you're losing 10 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals a game. It's a lot.
And darn good defense, which the steals don't even fully measure, and a certain vibe that he brought to the team that was
big
very valuable.
Guy. Big vibes guy.
Big vibes guy. Now the question becomes, who's going to run the point next year? Is there a chance Judiman stays? I don't think so, but who knows?
Well, is there a chance, I suppose? I'd be pretty surprised, though. I think based on his attitude towards the end of the season, everybody's got an idea he's leaving.
And so now there's a few options. I mean, was Quadir told that Syracuse has guys in the portal that they're targeting?
You can't play Quadir at the point guard.
That's what he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
He was, but Tyler, the way he plays, you're going to play him at the point?
Sure.
You can average 6 turnovers a game if you play
him. Okay, well, you can't play him at the small forward consistently.
That's the only place you can play him.
No, you can play him at the shooting guard.
He can't shoot.
Well, the shooting guard doesn't actually mean they shoot.
No, Tyler, I understand that. But if he's got the ball in his hands consistently.
Which point guards do?
Right. He's going to average 10 turnovers a half.
Okay, so regardless, I'm just curious as to what the team told him. If there was like, hey, we've got targets, you're not going to start next year, and he's like, okay, I want to start, I'm leaving. I also, it seems as though he was pretty close with Benny. I have no idea how that
factored into it. Very close with Judah, too.
No idea how that stuff factored into it.
I will say this, though.
Syracuse has to figure out the guard position next year, though. Which is crazy, because the whole thing like coming into the year is that there's too many guards to give minutes to.
Right. When the whole Benny thing happened, Quadir was visibly shaken by that. So how much of an impact that had, I guess we'll never really know unless there's, something that comes out from the Copeland camp at some point, which I don't think
maybe an athletic article in a few years.
There could be. I don't think this is a big enough scenario for that to warrant an athletic article in a couple of years, but I think Copeland's role next season would have been the same as it was now. It would have been the sixth man.
And that's probably
coming
why he left.
A spark, and he probably wants more than that. Yeah.
Which is totally fair. And I think at certain schools, he could absolutely be a very valuable starter.
Yes. I think on a great team, he's not a starter.
Well, on a great team, a lot of players on Syracuse. I would argue on a great team.
Judah Mintz is a starter on a great team.
And
J.J. Starling can be a starter on a great team.
No.
You don't think he can be?
On a great team, he's that sixth man who provides off the... He scores off the bench. on a truly great college team.
I guess it's up to your definition of great.
Malik Brown could be great on a, if the team's built a certain way.
Yeah. I mean, he'd have to play the four.
But like, Chris Bell's not a starter on a great team.
But he's a contributor on a great team, though.
He is. I mean, who knows if Holstead... Do you think Judah's probably gone, right?
I would imagine Judah's gone.
Yeah, that's got to be it. I mean, Malik already said he was
going
to stay.
Malik is coming back. That's huge.
I think JJ's almost certainly going to stay.
I would be floored if JJ left. Where's he going?
Nowhere. Exactly. Right. Chris could leave.
So after the NC State game, he was asked, you know, what do you think? Are you staying? Obviously non-committal. It's a tough spot to be put in after a game like that.
Yeah.
The way he answered the question and the tone he had, I was like, he might be gone. The fact that he hasn't entered his name in the portal yet, though, gives me a little bit of
solace.
Neither
has Judah.
Right. I don't think Judah's going to the portal. I think Judah's going to the G League.
I could see him going to another team if the NIL deal is big enough.
I suppose.
You're telling me Georgetown comes knocking.
I don't
gets
think it's
to play
be
in
Georgetown.
The hometown. Okay, sure.
You think he's going to Georgetown?
I
to
would
do what?
Georgetown on like a close to seven-figure NIL deal? I can see that happening.
You think Georgetown's got that much money?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
They haven't used it very well.
Not at all.
You know Syracuse used Georgetown's locker room against NC State?
That's pretty funny.
That's insane, isn't it?
That's awesome. So a lot of questions with the Syracuse team. We're going to be providing coverage the entire offseason, so make sure to follow at OrangeFizz on Twitter. But that's enough for the men's team, who hasn't been too successful. Let's move on to a much more successful team with topic number two.
Number two.
All right, we have the draw. Syracuse women's basketball, a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament. But unfortunately, you win in the first round, and your reward? Playing UConn.
That's brutal. That's
on
awful.
Its home court.
That's,
I mean,
just
that's
terrible.
And these two teams scrimmaged before the season.
Yeah.
And so I guess that's a little bit of help, a little bit of a scouting report.
I think they scrimmaged in stores, did they not?
They did.
Yeah.
Now, that I guess that's somewhat helpful, and there was no final score released from that, but based on the way people have talked about that game, big learning moment.
Sure.
That was probably a game that Syracuse got blown out in. And I'm sure the team is better now than it was before the season started, but it's a tough draw for a team that's very good, and it's the last year of this era with De'Asia Fair out of eligibility.
Right. I mean, it's unfortunate the way it works in women's basketball, where the first weekend is at a home site. So you have to not only play UConn, like you said, Tyler, you got to play them in stores. I mean,
it's going to be a packed crowd.
It's going to be packed. UConn draws a crowd. So it's going to be terrible. I mean, it's, can Syracuse win the game? I suppose. Would I pick them? No. I mean, UConn is not what it was a decade ago, even half a decade ago, but you got Paige Beckers, who's one of the three best players in the country.
No.
You still got, you don't think so?
No.
Who are your three best players in the country?
Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
I'll go Camila Cardoso.
Cam Brink.
Probably Cam Brink. That'd be my three.
I would go Clark, Brink, Beckers. Not Camila Cardoso.
She's going to be a top three pick in the draft this year.
Paige Beckers?
She's going back.
She's going back, right.
She would not be top three if she came out.
Yeah, she would be. She'd be third.
Nope.
Behind Beckers and Caitlin Clark.
I disagree.
She would be. Now, don't forget about Juju Watkins, who's 19 years old and might be the second best player in the country.
So Beckers is not...
She's the top five player in the country.
Sure, I'll give you that.
All right. As much as I love De'Asia Fair, right, she is not that. So UConn's going to have the best player on the floor. Felicia Legge-Jack's a great coach. She's not Gino Auriemma.
What needs to happen is De'Asia needs to be De'Asia. That's a given.
Yeah.
And every role player needs to be on their game. You need 20 from Georgia. You need Latham to grab, like, 15 boards and put up, like, at least 12 points. You need Elena Rice to go into double figures. You just need everybody to be at the top of their games. And that's, of course, assuming that they take care of business against Auburn or Arizona.
Which is not a guarantee either.
Correct.
I think it's far more likely they lose in the first round than make it out of this pot. Far more likely.
I'd say more likely. I wouldn't say far more likely.
Really? You think it's close? Lose first round versus win both games?
I don't think they lose. I really don't see a situation where they're losing first round.
The women's side is a little bit different in that sense, where the upsets aren't as frequent as the men's.
Correct.
Side. So I don't think they're going to lose first round, but the idea of beating UConn on their home court, that's a lot to ask.
It is. It is. We'll see what happens. That's coming up on Saturday. We've got some coverage of the women's team on orangefizz.net, so make sure to check that out as well.
And that UConn game would be Monday, should they win Saturday.
Correct. Yeah. It would be. And so now we're making the rounds through the sports, men's basketball, women's basketball. Topic number three, well, that's men's lacrosse.
Number three.
Francesca,
mm-hmm.
is Syracuse men's lacrosse back?
Oh, of course they are.
10-4 win over Duke. The top offense in the country, 18 goals a game, gets absolutely walloped by Syracuse.
It was
fun to watch. It was so fun to watch.
John O'Dierna has been a revelation, huh?
The Syracuse defensive coordinator. He runs the Enterprise defense named after a Step Brothers
quote,
which is just awesome. But it's not just funny. It's a dang good defense.
Yeah, I mean, listen. When Dave Petromala left to coach his sons at North Carolina, or at least coach one of his sons, the other son plays attack, people were like, oh. Because the perception was that Dave Petromala was the real head coach of this team, right? What does Gary Gate actually do?
Is he more of a general manager, blah, blah, blah. Now, I will say, Petromala's defense for the past 2 years has been mediocre at best.
Yes.
And I get it, the talent level wasn't there.
Right.
But it was still disappointing.
It was, but like you said, I mean, 2 years ago, the talent was just not there at all. Last year, they had the same guys for the most part, but they were a year younger. And this year, you've got new voice, new coach. Riley Figueres back. Torn ACL, number one defenseman recruit 2 years ago. Didn't play last season. Billy Dwan played a little bit last year, but now he's basically playing like an All-American.
Correct. He was a man-down defensive specialist.
Until Landon Clary got hurt. Then he became a starter.
Correct.
And now he's one of the best defensemen in the ACC.
He's been on his game. Then you've had like a rotation of Caden Cola's played solid. You're still getting some value out of Nick Kakemo.
Mm-hmm.
The short sticks have been playing well.
And they have a ton of them, is the thing with the short sticks.
Yeah, the thing
they can rotate them.
Before the season started, the conversation was Carter Rice is the only short stick on this team.
Right, because Max Rosa got hurt.
Because Max Rosa did get hurt. But you've gotten...
And Landon Clary, by the way, who moved from long pole to short stick, also got hurt.
Yeah, there was some conversation before the season that Kakemo would actually switch to a short stick if need be, and that hasn't happened. But the defense has been really strong. I'll give Jake Stevens and Sam English a lot of credit when they've been back on defense. Stevens has always been a good defender, but
Sam English is
a smaller dude, and he's played some pretty darn good defense.
They both began their careers as D-middies back at Princeton.
The other name I want to shout out, Wyatt Hoddle.
Yeah, he's been
got
great.
Some decent run at short stick defensive midfielder.
He might be their number one guy now.
And it was very good. And he, at the start of the year,
playing offense,
he was more of an offensive midfielder. So a bunch of guys are rotating. It's all working out. Now, of course, Syracuse has Hobart on Saturday, which pencil that in as a win.
You should, yeah.
The rest of the season, on the road against a ranked Cornell team, on the road against a ranked, albeit a lower-ranked UNC team, you host Virginia, you're on the road against a ranked Notre Dame team. It's a tough draw the rest of the season.
It is. And that trip to Notre Dame to me next week is going to tell us a lot about this team because not only has Notre Dame been good as of recent, national champions last year after all, they have destroyed Syracuse. I mean, every single time. It's the same old story.
15-goal wins. It's ridiculous.
Right. I mean, last season, Syracuse has a fourth-quarter lead, and they end up losing by 10.
So here's what I'll say, just purely for the vibes of the statement.
Sure.
Syracuse men's lacrosse is not back.
Syracuse men's lacrosse is back.
But Easter weekend at Notre Dame, the program can rise once again. Oh, come on. That's too good.
No, they're back. They're officially back. I'm calling them officially back.
But can they?
But if they beat Notre Dame, they're really back.
They're really back. So there's back and there's really
there's
back?
There's back and there's really back, yeah. They can win a national title, Tyler.
They absolutely could. Mark your calendars. Memorial Day weekend at the
Philadelphia,
link down in Philadelphia could be a big, big weekend for Syracuse men's lacrosse. That team back per Francesco Simone, and a team that is back in action is Syracuse football. That's topic number four.
Number four.
There's been a lot of talk about the transfer portal and how good Syracuse has been, how good Syracuse's recruiting has been under new head coach Fran Brown.
You know what they say about the portal, Tyler?
Giveth and it taketh away.
That's right, yeah.
But today, the first chance to see players on the field for Syracuse football nothing groundbreaking. No. I mean, it's just spring practices.
They're wearing shorts and helmets, yeah.
But the first time seeing Kyle McCord in a mm-hmm. Syracuse uniform, the first time that Fran Brown is watching these guys on the turf, and it just brings up the conversation. He's done it as a recruiter already, but can he do it as an actual in-game coach?
Nobody has any idea, and if they tell you otherwise, they're lying to you.
Yeah, it's
you have no idea.
You're not saying that he can't, just we don't know.
You don't know. I mean, there's nothing you can say besides, we have no. He's never been a head coach before.
Correct. He's never been a coordinator before.
Exactly. I mean, there's a difference between being a position coach and having to make decisions. Game planning. Calling timeouts. Making changes at certain positions, at certain places on the coaching staff. It's a completely different role. Now, again, are we saying he can't do it? No, he could, right? He seems like he's got the personality of the, you know, alpha leader type. But can he call timeout at the right time? Is he going to make the right decisions on fourth down? Is he going to kick the field goal when he needs to?
Let's be clear. Dino Babers didn't do much of that correctly as well.
No, and that's one of the biggest problems with Dino.
If the program has better recruiting and similar level coaching,
I guess that is a step up.
Then, like, I mean, think about it. Dino Babers as a mediocre on-field coach with Scott Schaefer's recruiting class had won 10 games and won the Camping World Bowl.
Yeah.
So if Fran Brown is at least a mediocre on-field coach with all these great players, Camping World Bowl, here we come. I don't even think that's a bowl anymore.
I don't think it exists anymore, no. How about he's good on the field, too? Can we have that? Can we have both?
Well, if that
do I have to pick one?
Then you're having a conversation about college football playoffs and ACC championships.
Which one would you rather have, a great recruiter or a great on-field coach? To me, it's easy.
In today's day and age, you got to have a great recruiter.
I agree.
That's not a question.
Now, again, you'd like to have both.
You would.
But it's not easy.
It's not easy at all, and I will say, I really respect the hire from John Weiltech.
It was a risk.
Because he hasn't taken a risk yet, head coaching-wise.
Well, Gary Gate moved across the hall, basically.
That was the easy option.
Kayla Traynor was a layup.
Oh, a layup.
Felicia Legette-Jack was a layup. Adrian Autry moved one spot over from the bench.
Correct. This is the first gutsy choice he's made,
yeah,
and I like it so far.
And it's a big one. I mean, football's the biggest one you can make.
You have to respect it, even if it doesn't work out. I appreciate the thought that went into it.
It would have been very easy to hire Bob Chesney from Holy Cross.
It would have been.
Very easy.
Wouldn't have been a fan.
No.
Wouldn't have been a fan.
No.
You know, we're talking a lot about gutsy things. That actually brings us to topic number five, mm-hmm. our March Madness brackets.
Number five.
So, Francesco, I did just lie. I said our March Madness brackets.
Yeah.
You don't have one this year.
I didn't make one, no.
Explain that.
It's hard to because there's not really a reason for it. I just didn't make it.
Fun? Money? Enjoyment?
Again,
pride?
It's inexplicable. I just decided not to do it. I don't have a reason for it. Didn't do it.
Can you at least give us a bold prediction for March Madness?
UConn's going to win the title.
That's not a bold prediction.
It's not bold enough?
They're the favorite.
I know. I'm kidding.
You have any low seeds making the Final Four?
Well, I didn't make a bracket, so I'm trying to think of who are the low seeds.
I'm trying to think of, like, popular. I mean, four-seeded Auburn, who's in UConn's quadrant.
I would have picked Oregon.
Pick.
I would have picked Oregon to go pretty far.
Okay.
I like Oregon.
They already have one win.
That's what I'm saying. I think that this Oregon team compared to the one that Syracuse saw in December, very, very
well,
different.
Because they actually have healthy players now.
Right. They don't only have seven scholarship players, and Nafali Dante is one of the best centers in the country.
Correct. Another low-seeded, like I've seen 11-seeded New Mexico has gotten quite
a bit
of love.
I'll say this. NC State's going to get bounced in the first round.
Thank you. I agree with that.
I thought Duquesne. See, for me, Georgetown from a couple of years ago has ruined every, like, miracle power conference champion for me. Because Georgetown goes on the run in the Big East tournament 2 or 3 years ago and gets destroyed in the first round. Ended up being a 12 seed after winning the Big East. Them getting destroyed in that first round has kind of ruined everything in terms of, like, all right, if there's this big upset in a power conference, a team that would otherwise have not made it, but they won their conference tournament. Now, Oregon's a little bit of a weird one because they kind of fall under that list.
But what about Oregon State? They did the same thing a few years ago, and they
That's
made
fair.
A run.
That's fair, but the Georgetown thing just sticks in my mind.
Georgia Tech as well.
Yeah, they didn't go. They didn't go anywhere.
They lost first round.
Right.
They did have an injury to their best player at the time.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
So I would say Oregon. I would have doing good things.
What's doing good things? Is that Sweet 16?
Yeah. I think
that means you got to be a 3 seed, so that's fair.
Going on a run, the baseline for going on a run is the Sweet 16.
I think that's fair.
If you go to the round of 32, you didn't go on a run. You won a game.
Okay, one last question for you.
Okay.
Give me which 1 seed's falling first.
Ooh, it's so easy to say Carolina because they're the worst 1 seed. But the bracket's also terrible. The region, I should say. The West region's...
Purdue's got a pretty easy path to the Elite Eight.
I know, but what does Purdue do every year?
It's so different. The guards have been so much better at Purdue this year.
I know, but it's hard for me to get...
Plus, the refs are going to give Edie all the calls. I mean, it's perfect.
Well, he's also 7'4", Tyler.
Yeah, well, Nyheim McLeod's 7'4".
Well, yes, Zach Edey's National Player of the Year, though.
Yes.
There's a difference. And has a healthy foot. So, UConn, Houston. I like Houston a lot.
Their defense is great.
That's
offense.
What I'm saying. I know, but if you hold the team to 55 points, you're going to win the game more than likely. Unless you're Virginia, of course. What a clown show that was, too. I'll say the first 1 seed to get knocked out is... And why not? Carolina lost to Syracuse. They can lose to somebody random.
That's very fair. I'd also pick UNC as my first team out. They're the only... I know this is lame. They're the only 1 seed I don't have in the Final Four. I went 3 1 seeds.
Really?
Here's the thing. It was such a chaotic regular season
that you think it's going to calm down?
I think we're due for a very chalk bracket this year.
See, so far today, it's been fairly chalk. A couple of 11s have won, but that's not that big of a surprise. Like, for me, anything above a 13 or above is what catches my attention.
Yes, 12 is pretty run of the mill.
12, 11, 10, 9. Flip a coin. Not flip a coin, but for the most part, a real game.
I'm pretty sure 11 seeds since 2010
have a winning record.
That's
yep.
crazy.
Yep. Yep.
Well, it's fun talking March Madness. It would be more fun if Syracuse was in it, but they aren't.
Maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
Maybe.
I certainly hope so.
I know you do.
I know you hope so as well.
I do, yeah.
So we'll see what happens over the next year. For coverage over the next year, you know where to find us, orangefizz.net, at orangefizz on Twitter. Make sure to follow along, read all of our articles and all that. And as always, go Orange.
And that's your Fizz 5. Listen next week. Subscribe, rate, and review. This has been an Orange Fizz production.